Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Amen. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And there's all authority and power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we're thankful that He's in this house today. This is His house. It would be odd for Him not to be here. Amen. Praise God. Again, thank you all for being in the house of the Lord with us today. To Mr. Perry, we say a great big 75th happy birthday to him today. Amen. Happy birthday to you, sir. Amen. My sister who is here today, she and her twin had birthdays yesterday, and they're still in their 50s, believe it or not. Amen. Amen. That's not going to last but another year, but they are still in their 50s. I'm not going to tell you their age. Amen. Now turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 9. I encourage you to make sure that you're here Wednesday night for Wednesday Connect. Everybody say Wednesday Connect. Amen. As Will Banks have prepared for this one, and we're going to have a cereal bar. And I like cereal. I don't eat it much anymore. Rarely do I eat it. But there was a day that I could eat a box of cereal at one setting and look for a second one. What y'all call bowls, I call saucers. Give me a bowl that, and Erica, when I went off to college, she used to say, I miss Uncle sticking his head in the bowl. And I was like, what are you talking about? I got serious with my cereal eating. I mean, I was up. I didn't want none to drop, you know, so you got to get over the bowl. I may have to teach some of y'all how to eat cereal Wednesday night. Amen. Does anybody need to bring anything? The church going to provide everything? Okay, church going to provide everything. So we'll have an array of cereal for you Wednesday night and obviously milk and some other goodies. And we're going to have a great time of fellowship. It's so important for you to be here Wednesday night. And then, as was announced, Brother Shelton will be here a week from today, and we're looking forward to that. Make sure you're in the house of the Lord with us Sunday. As was mentioned, the 31st is our Labor Day festival. It's going to be a casual dress that day. We are going to have Sunday school, and we will have our 11 o'clock celebration service, but then immediately after that, so you'll need to bring your lunch stuff with you, and we're going to have lunch right after church is over with, and we're going to have two big water slides. I think one is 18 feet. I think the other is 20 feet, and it is for kids of all ages, and I plan on participating. Amen. So wear appropriate clothing for our water slide, and we're going to have several other games. Very good. So we'll have a sign-up sheet next Sunday for those of you that did not hear, and you can tell what you're gonna bring so that we have a variety of foods. I don't know, for somebody mentioned maybe doing a theme, just do potluck. All right, sounds good to me. And I'll just tell you right now, I'm gonna smoke a Boston butt, and all right, I want to make sure you get some now, and it's gonna be the best you've ever had. I picked up a few tricks from Brother Helton. So that's right, brother. He's teaching me. The pit master is teaching me. Amen. But we are going to have a great, great time. Amen. Matthew chapter number 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. I will let you know in advance that there are a few passages of Scripture that I plan to read this morning that are a little lengthy, and I'll encourage you to just stay connected with the service and with the scriptures today. Verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Everybody say in earth. As it is in heaven. Everyone say as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to give some things to you this morning that the Lord put in my spirit this week. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject about spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment. God bless you. You may be seated today. One cannot truly say they are hungry for change if they are not willing to change. I want to say that again. One cannot truly say they are hungry for change if they are not willing to change. Something has to change if a person desires to change. Circumstances might change, but if the individual's heart and actions do not change, future circumstances will be just like the past. We must be willing to change. I know that sounds like a very obvious statement, but it is something I felt very specific. God spoke to me this week to deliver to this church. And so my very first comments is what I felt so strongly that God gave me. You cannot say that you are truly hungry for change if you will not change. You see, this happened often with Old Testament Israel. How many times when you study the Word of God, the Old Testament in particular, how many times did God change their circumstances when they cried out to God because of bondage, because of an enemy that was coming against them? And they cried out to God, and God changed their circumstances only for their heart not to change. And you read a few chapters later, and you'll find Israel in the same spiritual condition as they were before God changed their circumstances. Because their circumstance changed, but their heart and actions did not change with the circumstances. We must be willing to change. And the willingness to change applies to the sinner and to the saint alike. We are called, according to the Word of God, to faithfulness. We are not called to unchanging. We are called to faithfulness, but we are not called to unchanging. In the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 17, bear with me. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness or unbridled sensuality. Filthiness is what that word means. But they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, verse 25 says, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is talking about strong emotions or yelling out of anger. He said, let clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In this passage of Scripture, amen, Paul tells us about the change that should come forth from our life. He said, this is what you were before your conversion, but this is the change that is expected after your conversion. Now, I will tell you today that we are a building in process. Not everything is going to change overnight. My old football coach used to say, Rome was not built in a day. You are not going to become mature overnight. But there should be honest desires within you that says, I am not going to be the same. I'm going to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the teaching of God's Word change my life. That's why he said, if you stole, there ought to be a change inside of you. Steal no more. If you lived a life of anger, of malice, uncontrollable emotions, he said that must change. You cannot be a child of God living according to the old standards before you repented and before you took on his name in baptism and before God filled you with his Spirit. There must be a change inside of us. And God cannot change us if we are unwilling to change. Too many times I look in the eyes of people and I see lifted hands and maybe at times a tear trickle down their cheek and they are praying prayers something like, God, change me. But there is no true, honest desire for God to change them. Because when conviction sets in and God starts saying, I want this to change, or I want this removed, we become like a tree planted by the water, unmovable. And I have come to tell you today that if we are going to walk in God's plan for our life, change is required. a change of thought process, a change of actions, a change of attitude. Everything about us through the process of time is going to change us to be more like Him. Jesus is unchanging. The writer of Hebrews declared this truth. Chapter 13 of verse 8 of Hebrews. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And while His nature is unchanging, He changed everything around Him. His nature has never changed, but He changed everything around Him. Hence the reason why He was hated among the religious sect of society in His day, because He went totally contrary against their mindset. I've come to tell you today that people with promise must make adjustments in their life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17 from the ESV version. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty God. Verse 1 of the next chapter. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. The preceding verses, going up to the first verse of chapter number 7, the scriptures preceding that, it talks of us about promise that He will be a father to us and we will become sons and daughters to the Lord. And then in verse number 1, He says, since we have these promises, we must allow change to come into our life. We cannot walk with past people with promise if we are not willing to change after God gives us the promise. Well, I want the promises and the blessings of God, but I don't want God to change me. Then you will not walk with the blessings and the promises of God, or they will never become fulfilled in your life. They are only fulfilled upon those that lay themselves on the altar and say, God, whatever it is that you desire from me, I give myself to you. It is my opinion, one of the most difficult prayers to pray was prayed by the lips of David in Psalm 143 and verse number 10. And this is what David prayed. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. It appears to me, and I think will to you, that this has been a certain theme that God has been speaking to us about. Teach me to do thy will, not my will. Teach me to do thy will. I submit to you again today that I believe that is one of the most difficult prayers to pray, is for God to break our will so His will can be accomplished. You see, harnessing the whim of our carnal desires is a very tremendous battle that we all face. In Romans chapter number 7, again, another lengthy passage of Scripture, starting in verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I thought not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In these passages of Scripture, it is my belief that Paul is not really confessing his own sin. I think he is portraying to us the real battle that humanity faces. I want to do good, but I can't. And the times that I try to stay away from it and I try to walk with God, evil is always present with me. He talks about the war that is raging between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit wants to change. The spirit wants to become conformed into the likeness of God. But this Adamic nature or this sinful nature we face is still alive and working against us. I would tell you today the only way to break the strongholds of our carnal and fleshly desires that are contrary to the things that are pleasing to God is to first hunger for God and secondly to surrender to His desires. If this old sinful nature is going to be broken that we all face, there's not a person in this house that does not face the sinful nature that we were born with. Take the halo off and the angel's wings off. You are not that holy. Amen. There are issues that in our flesh we battle and deal with. Not everybody's battle is the same, but everybody has a battle. Praise God. And the only way for that old fleshly desire to be conformed to the likeness of God is there must be inside of us a true hunger for God to rule and reign in my life. That He becomes more than my Savior, but He becomes my Lord and Savior. He's not the one who just died on the cross for me. But He becomes my Lord, that He tells me what to do. He tells me how to live. I don't depend on Hollywood to tell me how to live. I don't depend on politicians to tell me how to live. I'm not depending on the moral code of our generation to tell me how to live. I depend on the Word of God and the mind of God to tell me how to conduct my life. But the only way to change and to become in spiritual alignment with God is we must first hunger for God. And if God will be my help today, I want to preach to you as your pastor, not just in this service, but in every service. I want to preach a hunger inside of your heart for the things of God, that the worldly pleasures that we hold on to, that we would be willing to let those escape from our hands, and they do not control our life. But we reach for God. We hunger for Him. If we want true change and spiritual alignment to come into our life, we must hunger for God. Whatever you hunger for is what's going to feed you. Whatever it is that you hunger for, amen, that is what's going to feed you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're either going to hunger for worldliness or we're going to hunger for spiritual things. And yes, I believe in a balance in life, and that's one of the greatest lessons that Brother Mark Morgan taught to me was having a balance in life. You can't be all spiritual. I'll just be honest with you. Ain't nobody going to be around if you're always spiritual. I mean, it's something you got to come down out of the clouds and talk to us. Well, that ain't about right. That is right. Hey, man, we still live in this life. Hey, man, but not, amen, we should not be full of worldliness either. That our conversation centers around, and listen, just hear me out. It does not center around sports or movies or politics. Our conversations are not controlled by the outward elements of this world. But when we get together, we're talking about the things of God and the Word of God and what God spoke to you about in prayer or something you saw in the Scripture that you had never seen before. Where are the days, amen, that we're driving down the road with our friends and a prayer meeting breaks out and you got to pull over on the side of the road because the spirit of prayer or praise is upon you and you know I got to stop. We got to have us a praise break or a prayer break because God has entered into this car with us. Tell you the number of times when I pastored in Oklahoma and Brother Johnny Carroll was pastoring in Kansas that when he and I would get together, hey man, in Kansas or in Oklahoma or other places, he and I would go driving around, hey man, and we would start talking about the things of God. Hallelujah. And there was a hunger in our heart. Oh yeah, we were facing troubles on every side. We were young pastors hoping just to try to survive some issues and things that we were confronted with. Hey man, but there was a hunger for the presence of God. There was a hunger for the things of God. It's conferences that I attended, amen, that left a forevermore mark in my life and in my ministry was because of a hunger for the things of God. I remember many times driving down the road, amen, we would have to pull over somewhere and park. Oh, because we just begin to pray and the spirit of intercession would move into that vehicle and the glory of God was in that vehicle. I'll never forget going to camp meeting one time in Oklahoma and we went to the Miller's house after an evening service. It was us and the Shatwells and the Millers and I think the Godwins and several, a few other couples that were there, and while we were there fellowshipping, oh, we were laughing, we were cutting up, we were having a good time, but seemingly out of nowhere, Brother James, the Spirit of God began to move into that house, and laughter turned to prayer, amen, laughter turned to tears, laughter turned to ministering one to another. Oh, that I would be sensitive and thank you to whoever got me the wind chime. Praise God. But oh, that I would be sensitive like a wind chime, that the smallest breeze of the presence of God, I would be in tune with it. And I would know God is trying to speak and God is trying to move in our midst. Oh, we got to desire more than just good singing and good preaching. I want a move of the Spirit. I want anointing power to fill this place. And not just for us to have goosebumps. I want to see lives changed. I don't find it funny that when Paul and Silas, even though they were cast into prison, when they begin to pray and praise, notice it wasn't just their jail cell that opened. It affected everybody else around them because they went free as well. I'm telling you, when we pray with anointing, when we pray with hunger, when we praise with passion, I'm telling you, it has not only the ability to change the world, it has the ability to change the environment of the entire place, and people that walked in bound can leave free. Why? Because of the presence of God. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. But in order to have that level of consecration and dedication, I've got to first hunger for it. I've got to want it. And when God wants to remove things from me and change things about me, I must be allowable to let God change those things in my life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And preachers say it, and I don't know why they say it. I'll say it, I guess, just because it's customary, but pardon the personal reference. But honestly, there's nobody else I know better than myself. But I'll never forget back in 1989, Brother Rick, Sister Deborah, and those of you that were here, the Marlers and a few others. I'll never forget back in 1989 when I came back from that camp and I knew I was a changed man. Oh, I made a lot of mistakes, brother. I'm telling you, I made a lot of mistakes, and I had more opportunities to do things than before I had that life-changing moment. And I know it was nothing but the adversary. I fail sometimes, but I'm also happy to report that there were many times I was able to look at that temptation and say no. And every time I fail, you see, in years gone by, I would stay a failure. But there was something inside of me this time that said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. I'm getting back up this time. I'm not staying down this time. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to crawl back to that altar and say, God, I know I told you I'd never do it again, but I did it again. And I'm ashamed to call on you again, God, for the same mistakes. But here I am because I want to be saved and I don't want to be lost. Hallelujah. I'll never forget shutting myself into that old bedroom. Hey man, we had a phone in our bedroom. Actually, the church had gotten for Christmas, mom and dad, an extra line for the house. You kids, you don't know about phone systems nowadays, but some of you will understand. But I had a sister, who is not here today, that let's just say she was a phoneaholic. There was no drug more addictive than the phone to her. And no, I have call waiting back then. And some of you don't even know what call waiting is. I'm really dating myself. I remember two party lines. I still do. I still remember them. And so church people would try to call mom and dad and couldn't get in. So the church said, we got to get you on line. And so mom and dad actually kept the original line, 72744. I remember the day when you didn't have to call 28. Yeah, and still, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, and so we got another phone line. But anyway, I'm really off track, showing my age now. But I'd shut myself in that bedroom. I'd play that cassette tape of Brother Jerry Jones preaching, learning how to live without God, over and over and over. And I'd weep and cry. I'd shut myself in. I'd make that bedroom an altar. I made my bed an altar. I opened up the Word of God and saw things I'd never seen before because of a personal hunger for God. Not because it was on purpose. I'll never forget somebody would call that phone line that was in our bedroom, and I'd answer the phone. I'm a prayer that it was an honest mistake. I would answer the phone and I'd say, hallelujah. I mean, hello. And I felt so foolish. But at the same time, I was so thankful that I was in a season of prayer that when somebody called, that I got my words mixed up. See, I've been getting my words mixed up for a long time now. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I was just hungry for God. I wanted more of Him. And the more I wanted Him, soon I started liking more of what He liked. And I started disliking things that He didn't like. I started getting an upper hand on my sinful desires. And I started winning battles because I was hungry for God. If you want to get in spiritual alignment with God, we've got to get hungrier for God than we've ever been before. It can't be the same. If this church wants to be a leader in North Mississippi for revival, we cannot continue doing the same things that we've been doing. And it's not just corporate changes. It starts with personal changes. That I don't indulge my flesh as much as I have. You see, here we go. This is where the rubber meets the road. I want to be changed, but don't change me. I want to be changed, but don't affect areas of my life. You can only be changed if we allow God to change us. It has to become more than lip service. Hallelujah. And I personally have been making changes the last month or so. as God, I'm on this journey with you. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. And I personally have been making changes. But if you want to break, and I use the word loosely, and probably that's not a right word to use because you'll never completely break fleshly desires. It's something we're always going to struggle with in one area or another. But I can certainly get an upper hand on the carnality and sinful desires. Remember what the word said? If you stole, steal no more. If you got drunk, get drunk on new wine. Well, you know, I understand the hour that we're living in. And pardon me, Rashad, I'm not usually this, you know, but I'm just going to be blunt and plain about some things. I'll put it like this. If you used to smoke, quit smoking. So Brother Wells used to say you need to talk right and spit white. Get the tobacco out of your mouth. But we're not only dealing with that nowadays. Get some controls on the internet and what you look at on your phone, what you listen to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We got a hunger for Him, but we've also got to surrender to Him. Or in other words, submit to the will of God. Hunger and submission. Both walk hand in hand. And some people just don't want to submit. Now I know some of you are thinking right now, is he going to go there? And I just might. God's still giving us the fivefold ministry. You got to submit to ministry. And ma'am, if God's given you a good, godly husband, submit to that leadership that God's put in your life. Oh, it's 2025. I don't care what the women's lip says. I am concerned what the Word of God says. And I will tell you, if a man loves his wife like Christ loves the church, a woman will be a lot more receptive to the idea of submission. But if you treat her like a dirt bag and treat her like a floor mat, submit. The attitude that says no one is going to tell me what to do must die if we're going to be spiritually aligned with God. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Then you will not be in spiritual alignment with God. We must submit to God. And that means we are giving ourselves up to Him. You see, there's a journey between Psalm 143 and verse number 10 that we read it a moment ago to Psalm 40 and verse number 8 when the writer said in Psalm 40 and 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do you know that you can get to a place in your walk with God that you delight to do the will of God? That every time God speaks to you, it's not a struggle because you have subdued and overcome the flesh, that it does not control your life and your mindset. When we surrender and submit to the will of God, sometimes it's easier to know God's will than to do God's will. But the most powerful and effective people in this world are those who learn to get into spiritual alignment with God. You'll never be powerful in the spirit without submission to the Word and the will of God. Brother Harmon, what are you talking about, alignment? There, I would be safe to say that probably everybody in this house, if you've got a vehicle and was able to afford it, you've had to get an alignment on your vehicle. You notice because, you know, I know we don't have many here, but potholes. I thank God for the road construction I am seeing being done, though. I will rejoice in that. But there was a day that it was a lot worse than what it is now. I drive down some roads, and I know I look like a drunk driver. And I'm not. I'm just trying to avoid having to get an alignment. But you hit something. And all of a sudden, before you know it, that car is starting to naturally veer one direction. You know why? It's out of alignment. You hit it too hard to the right, well, it's going to lean to the right. If you hit it too far to the left, it's going to lean to the left. When it starts leaning to the left, you think, well, maybe I can hit something with the right, and maybe I can get a self-alignment. That's what we're talking about. When we lean a little bit too much this way, oh, we're out of balance this way. God's desire is for us to get in alignment with His will and His purpose. And even Jesus Christ, the humanity of Jesus Christ, had to do that. And I won't take the time to read all the scriptures in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 34, but here they are. Jesus, the Bible says, I'm going to read a particular verse. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." Found in these scriptures is one of the most intense battles ever displayed. And it is a battle that everybody has got to fight. And we're either going to win the battle or we're going to lose the battle. And it's the battle of submitting our will to the will of God. Because we can only be in alignment with God if we are submitted to His will and purpose. Musicians, come. I refer you back to our early passage of scriptures that I read at the outset of this message today. But why is the prayer in Matthew 6 and 10 so important? When He said this, how you pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Here's the reason why that is so important that we pray this type of prayer. Because great things are going to happen when earth, or humanity, us, gets in a straight line with heaven. When man gets in alignment with heaven, powerful things are going to happen. And God is attempting to position this church to get in better alignment with God and His will. Because if we, as a body of believers, will submit and hunger for God, an alignment is going to take place, and there will be powerful demonstrations that are going to happen. And I say that the lost will be found, and the addict will be set free, and lives will be put back together, and the hurting will be healed when the body gets in alignment with God. And we hunger for His will, and we submit to His will rather than our own will. You see, there is without a doubt benefits of godly change and obedience to His word. Never had the walls of the adversary fallen by simply walking and shouting, but they did at Jericho. It was a tactical change. They had never done this before. It was a tactical change, but one that produced victory because of obedience to what God told them to do. But I want to change. And God's saying, we'll do it this way. And we're like, I've never done it this way. Do it God's way. Don't you feel like you've done it your way long enough? Naaman, you may not like the process. And you may feel you have a more convenient way to bring forth the change in your heart and soul that it is longing for. But nothing works like God's plan. Naaman had leprosy. And he had a servant lady that said, if you could just go see the man of God, I believe that you'd be healed. He makes the journey to the man of God. And the man of God tells him, if you'll go dip in Jordan's river 7 times, you'll be healed. Naaman's initial response, ain't no way. Ain't no way. I'm going to go dip in that muddy waters. Aren't there better waters to go dip in? Why did he tell me to go to Jordan's waters? Because God wanted to see if you would submit to his way and not your way. And too often we get bogged down by trying to do it our way, when our way is not working. But I promise you, his way will. God's way will work. Finally, Naaman's servants were able to convince him. What do you got to lose? If you don't go dip in Jordan's river 7 times, nothing's going to change. You're going to remain a leper. But just what if, Naaman? What if you go and something changes? And Naaman finally is convinced. He goes to Jordan's waters and he dips. And when he comes up the 7th time, he is a completely changed individual. Not my will. I've tried to do it my way long enough, and my way isn't working. How about we try today doing it God's way? I believe as we stand together in this service this morning, I believe that you came to this service hungry for an answer today, didn't you? I believe some of you came hungry for an answer today, and if so, I would say the answer is rather simple. The answer is simply Jesus and surrendering to his way and to his will. I just want Jesus. I'm at a place where I realize everything else has failed, nothing's worked. But I want you. I hunger for you. I thirst for you today. I wonder if there's hungry hearts in this place that God has spoken to this morning. I wonder if there's people under the sound of my voice, and I know there is, that deep down inside you're saying, I've done it my way long enough, and my way hasn't worked. And I want to get the best benefit out of this life that I can. And the only way to do that is by hungering for God and submitting to his will and his plan in my life. Don't you think it's time to put yourself on the altar and pray just as Jesus did? Not my will. Not my will. But let your will be done. Let's pray together right now. Would you? Would you bow your heads? Would you talk to Jesus? Would you commune with God this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sweet, precious Jesus, right now, I don't want my way. I'm here to surrender your way, to your way. I'm here to surrender to your plan this morning. I've walked this road long enough. I've journeyed down this road, the same old road that I've been walking down for year after year after year. And I'm seeing the same thing over and over and over. I want to change today, God, and I'm going to let you change me. I'm going to let you change me today because that's the only way I'm going to benefit from this life is for me to submit to your will, to your plan. In Jesus' name, would you join me around the altars this morning? Would you leave your place where you've been sitting at this morning? Would you come around the altar with me this morning? Would we pray together? God, not my will, not my will. I want to get in spiritual alignment with you, Jesus. Whatever you need to change. Whatever it is you want to change, God, I'll make myself. I'm not going to fight against you. I'm not going to wrestle against you. There is greater commitment, I'm telling you. There's greater commitment God is looking for from some of you. The same old way you've been doing, it's not going to get it done. You can't really say you won't change if you won't let God change you. Submit to it. Submit to it. Truly hunger for it. Oh, and what Jesus will do when we become in alignment with God and His will in our life. Well, I'll make the moves when somebody else makes. You can't depend on anybody else. You got to do it for you. You got to want it for you. You got to want it for yourself. There is a change, a beautiful change that God wants to bring about. Let Him do it today, would you? Would you get in spiritual alignment with Him? Come on, hunger for Him. Submit to His will and His word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I'm talking about areas that maybe you hadn't even thought about yet. I've hesitated about using a personal example, but I'm going to. I really like listening to police dramas and real life stuff. I don't get into this fake police stuff, mysteries and all this kind of stuff. I really like listening to them. But I've just kind of felt the nudge over the last month or so. I need to quit spending so much time listening to that stuff. And so I've been turning it off a whole lot more often than what I was. And I'm going to tell you something. I can tell a difference in me by partaking of less of that. Is there anything wrong with it? No, probably not. But it was too much of my diet. And God wanted me to quit spending so much time with it. And I've made those changes. So, you know, the change could be whatever area that God's talking to you about. And I have no doubt today God's talking to you about something. Quit wrestling with God. Submit to it. Align yourself with the will of God. Let's be strong and do exploits, but we can only do it by walking in alignment with God. Let's sing. I ask again that you would pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, let your will be done. In the name of Jesus.